Been thinking much about the wonder of the wind and how the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not hear the sound thereof. You can't see where it's coming from or where it's going. And the same thing is true about the Spirit of God working in our lives. I want to look tonight in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. If you would find the book of Isaiah and go left one book, the book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 4 tonight, I want to look in verse number 12. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse number 12. I'll ask you, if you will, please stand to your feet tonight for the reading of the Word of God and reverencing it this evening. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse number 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I want to preach this thought tonight. How is the wind blowing in your garden? Father, would you help us tonight to look into the Word of God? Would you cleanse us tonight, Father, of all our sins and all our selfishness? And God, would you fill us tonight with your Spirit? God, would you give us an unction to preach in the power and in the demonstration of your Spirit? God, it's your word. It's your people. It's your message. Father, I ask tonight that you would give us understanding and enlightenment of this delicate passage. We ask your blessing now, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, just want to preface this by saying there are many gardens in the Word of God. There was the Garden of Eden found in the book of Genesis chapter 2. It was a literal paradise on earth, but the devil got in it, and sin and disobedience got sown in the Garden of Eden. There's another garden that I find in the book of Genesis chapter 13. It's a garden towards Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a well-watered plain, but the devil got in. And it concludes with exceeding wickedness and the pleasures of this world. There's another garden found in 1 Kings chapter 21. It's in Jezreel. Naboth owns it. It's lovely, but the devil got in. And Naboth was murdered. His property was seized. And the garden was turned into a garden of herbs for the devil. There's another garden called the Garden of Gethsemane found in John chapter 18 where the olive oil would be crushed into oil. And in that garden, Jesus, his being in great agony, his sweat turned into great drops of blood. And as his disciples slept, he began to pray and seek the Father's will. And just outside that garden, the devil slipped up and Judas betrayed Jesus there in that garden. I might mention another garden. It's a garden tomb found in John chapter 19, verse 41. Jesus was buried there, and the devil and corruption tried to get in, but they couldn't. And on the first day of the week, Jesus arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You remember when Mary came there to that garden tomb, she saw the Lord, and she supposed that he was the gardener. May I just say that there's many gardens, and there are more in the Word of God. And tonight, the Lord says about you individually, you are His garden. God has given you a life and a testimony, and the devil wants to get in your garden. In the Song of Solomon, we see Solomon the king and his love for a little Shulamite girl. The king is a picture of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the little Shulamite girl is a picture of the mystery of the church. It is you and I. In the Song of Solomon, we see Jesus pictured as the rose of Sharon. In the Song of Solomon, we see Jesus pictured as the lily of the valleys, plural. I look at verse 12 again. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. I see, number one, a fascinating garden. This is a metaphor, if you will accept it. It is about Solomon's affection towards the Shulamite girl, and he's mentioning, he's picturing her as a garden. May I say to you tonight, before I get into this message deep, that before you were a garden, you were void. You were barren. You were stony ground. You were waste. But Jesus saw treasure in you, and he gave all that he had that he might not just have the treasure, but the entire field. And he took the entire field and he fenced off part of it. He began to disc it. He began to work in it. He began to plow it and turn it. And he began then to plant it and seed it. And he turns you into a garden. The Bible says a garden enclosed. You are that garden and you are enclosed. That means he's seeded, he's planted, and he's put a fence around you. He has separated you as a garden from the rest of this world. You as a garden, you belong to the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 28, the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He's purchased you and he's separated you from the world. He's enclosed you. He's fenced you in. This garden that's separated is also has some security. Think about it. You're protected by the fence of his hand. You cannot be plucked out of his hand. His love for you is everlasting and his love for you is unchanging. He said he'd be a wall of fire round about you and the glory in the midst of you. In a typical garden, many of you have a garden, what tries to get in but predators? Deers and rodents, raccoons, insects, all kinds of bugs try to get in there, amen. Hey, but the Lord has gifted us with the Holy Ghost to keep the rodents and the predators away from us. This security, this fence he's put around you, hear me, it's limited accessibility. Only who the king says can get in his garden. Have you ever been over there to the Bitmore House and Gardens and walked down there through the rose gardens and the beautiful flowers? You have to have a ticket to get in. At one point in time, the Vanderbilts and the people that worked for them was all that could get in there. And special guests, hear me, God has limited access to who can get inside your garden. But you got to be careful who you invite in. Hello? Now, I think about this garden closed. It's a time of secrecy. Now, this Shulamite girl, Preacher Darren, I have a problem. It says she's my sister, comma, my spouse. Okay. Well, I married my sister. Her name is Gina. And spiritually, she got saved, and she's my sister in Christ. And she's also my spouse. Amen. And so this garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. That tells us that she is that garden. She is that metaphor. And it's a secret relationship. He has intimate communication with her. He expresses to her his strong love for her. He knows what grows in the rose. Amen. The garden to him is delightful. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. Let me tell you something. You go through fresh plowed ground, my daddy, if you'd walk back through it, he'd get you. It's just like vacuuming. I know here when people's vacuuming, they sure hate to see you put your footprints on it till it before it's time for the service, after they put them little triangles in it and all that they do vacuuming. Same thing's true when you're plowing. You get it nice and tilled up and plowed over. You sure don't want somebody's footprint in it, packing it down. But honey, there's a footprint in my garden, and it's my gardener. He's the master gardener, and he comes through row by row at his good pleasure. Hey, those feet that were crucified on the cross, he comes inspecting, walking through the garden. Oh, how he cares for his garden. You realize that your life is hid with Christ in God? That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. My daddy one time, he said he was flying and he was having to go to Chicago, and he said, "Lord, I just want to know how much your hand is on me." And he said, "Lord, anything you can do on this trip, I'm just going to say, I'm not going to worry as I go to the airport there in Chicago. I'm not going to worry about all the things going on there." And I've been to that airport. Man, it is super busy. And he went in there and he said, "I'm telling you," he said, "I walked up there to where you get your luggage. I put my hand down and there was my luggage. I didn't have to wait. There it was." He said, "I made my connecting flight." He said, "The little girl walked up to me, the stewardess, and said, 'Sir, would it be okay if we upgraded you to first class for free? We really would like to move you up here if that'd be okay with you.'" He said, "Well, what about, let me tell you something, honey. Oh, preacher, there, why didn't I get first class?" You have not because you asked not. She said, "Lord, today I just want to know how good you take care of me. Lord, I want to walk with you. Just go sit back and relax and just watch you work in my life." Let me tell you something. We never do that. We're always thinking about, "I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this," rather than us just saying, "Lord, will you just work it out?" Well, this garden, this intimate relationship between the garden and the gardener, praise God for it, and it's sacred. It's a holy place. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1:22, that he may present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. I'm just fascinated tonight by the garden, okay? Number two, I want us to see in that garden, there is a fountain of the gardens. The Bible says it is a spring shut up. It is a fountain sealed. Look at verse 15. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams of Lebanon. Now, can you just see that beautiful garden? Can you see it's completely, it's blooming, it's fascinating, and it's completely protected, it's fenced in, it's enclosed. Can you just see it there? Hallelujah. It's got a wall without, but a well within. The king, in his garden, has especially set up that only, listen to this, only he and his children can drink from that well. Not just anybody's getting in that garden. You got to be a child of the king to get in that garden and to get to enjoy the good drink out of that well. It's a spring. The Bible says a spring shut up. It is springing forth into everlasting life. John 4:14, in him will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. How many of y'all still go to drink from the old spring house? A few of you. And you go back and you clean it out real good and you get down there and get you a good old dip of that water. Say, "Preacher Darren, ooh, I wouldn't drink that water." Honey, you don't know what you're missing. I'm telling you, it's better than any bottle of water you'll ever get. It's better than anything you'll ever get from the town. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, honey, you get a drink from the water from a spring out of these mountains, there's nothing just like it up underneath a rock somewhere. Thank God for it. But honey, I found something even better. It's getting a drink from the fountain that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. Praise God. He's a well within us, causes us to bloom. Thank God for it. Now, not only is it a spring shut up, but it is a supply, a garden. If it's going to bloom and grow and prosper, it's going to have a water resource, a water supply. Hallelujah. You've got to have water to be refreshed. That plant's got to have, those plants have to have water to bring forth fruit. So it's supplied. It's also sealed. It says it is a fountain sealed. Sealed from unbelievers, sealed away from the world. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, we've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. verse 15. It's a sustained one. This well is a well of living waters, and it leads to a river which never runs dry. The spring on earth has heaven as its source, amen. Jesus said in John 7:38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Hallelujah. Now, here we go. Look at thirdly in verse 13 to 14. It is a fruitful garden. In this garden are some exotic, regal trees. They are fenced in. They are fruitful. They are fragrant spices. If you will, for just a minute, there is a variety. Do you see the variety of the spices and of the plants that are growing in that garden? I mean, you look around here tonight. This is to the Lord is one big garden. Look at the variety of this. Not all of us can be the cinnamon. Not all of us can be the calamus. Not all of us can be the aloe. We're all different. Sometimes you war against each other because you think you ought to all be alike, or that one gets jealous of another. Let me tell you something, honey. God made us all different. And we're all together to bloom for His glory. God has intangibles in my life that many different aspects. Think about it. What about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. There are nine of them. Preacher, there ought to be fruits. No, I think they all stem off of one, love. They all stem off of one, love. If you look at this list, it's interesting how many, if you look at this list close, that there are. Look with me now. The master gardener, remember, this field that was barren, void, and waste, and the Lord purchased it with His own blood. He began to fence it in. He began to disc it and work at it, making plants there. Honey, He's got to work. He wants your garden to be a paradise. Look, He says, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Pomegranates speaks of fruitfulness. Red in color. I like that color, don't you? Red represents the blood of Jesus Christ. They represent praise. They're on the high priest's garment, there would be a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. It represents the Spirit of God. It represents the praise of the Lord. That's what it represents. Preacher Darren, how big is a pomegranate tree? They get huge. Did you know in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 2, Saul sat underneath a pomegranate tree? It was huge. Most of his whole army was up underneath that thing. Pomegranates are amazing. Now, I want to go through these real quick. We've seen the work here. Remember, the work. He's done a great work. He's labored. But I want you to consider the worth of this. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Campfire. You know what that is? It's a dye, and it makes a special perfume. Spikenard, do you remember the woman who anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, who had that flask of spikenard, very costly, broke it open? It's used to anoint. It's very costly. Saffron, here it says spikenard and saffron. Listen, saffron comes from crocus blooms, and the best I could study, you have to have 80,000 blooms to make 1 pound of that. It's the most expensive of any of those spices. You go through like calamus, it's used for medicine and healing. Cinnamon is a spice, but it's also used, did you know it's an anti-diabetic? Frankincense, used as spice and perfume and anointing. Myrrh as medicine and anointing. Aloes, medicine and for help for your skin. Chief spice, all these things, hear me. You put all these things together, I don't have time to read in Exodus, but all these things were the things that were put together to make the anointing oil for the king and for the priest. All those things are in that garden. All those things God has interested in putting in your garden. He wants you to be fruitful. Let me tell you something else about these plants. Most every one of these are plants that are not just spring and summer plants. They're year-round plants. You go to a lot of places of your life and you are dead. Tonight I'm probably preaching to somebody, you're a dead head. I'm preaching you tonight. The journey has absolutely worn you out. You're so defeated. You're so down. You used to be so excited. You used to be such a help. And now all of a sudden you're way down. Well, that's just where I am right now, preacher. Honey, I said before the service, before I started preaching, you ought to praise Him all the time. We got to learn it. He's good all the time. Praise Him all the time. And these plants in the garden, when people see your garden, it don't need to look dead. These plants are plants that are alive 24/7, 12 months out of the year. Hey, we ought not to be dead in the house of God. We ought to have some life about us. There ought to be some fragrance about us. Hey, we ought to be a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God. The first time you see the word sweet in the Bible, Noah has gotten off the boat. He's lifting up a sacrifice unto the Lord, and it was a sweet smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God. Let me tell you what's going on in our country. It's not a sweet smelling savor. It's a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. And what's going on in a lot of our churches, not being run right, not being preaching the truth of the Word of God, not singing praises to Him anymore, puppet shows and muppet shows. Lord God, get rid of that stuff and get back to the Word of God. Hear me? We've got to have life in us once again. The Lord wants you to have life and fruitfulness in your garden. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Not just fruit. Not just a little fruit. Much, the superlative. What do you think is much to the Holy Ghost? Be a lot, wouldn't it? Well, last of all, and I'm done. In verse 16, this is the verse that God's got me hung up on. I see, fourthly, the fulfillment of the garden. Solomon the king has been speaking. He is comparing, making a metaphor of this beautiful, fragrant, fenced in, fruitful garden being a picture of the Shulamite girl. In verse 16, the Shulamite girl, she speaks back to the king. What does this little girl have to say to the king? "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garment, that the spices thereof may flow out." Do you hear her plea? She says, "Awake, O thou north wind." Preacher Darren, the north wind is cold. North wind, we don't like it. Hey, in the Word of God, the north wind's blowing from the heavenly city, from the throne of Almighty God. Amen. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross and the Lord bruised Him, it was a sweet smelling savor. And the wind of God, honey, when she blows, God made the wind. God created the wind. And the little girl says, "Holy Ghost, I want you to come and blow up on my garden." Now, why would she plead such a thing? Well, it makes me think then about the power of the wind. Do you know that wind always has a direction? A tornado has a direction. A hurricane has a direction. There is a direction. I watched this week two or three times the people on the weather. You may have watched more than me. And they'll say the wind's going to be about 10 to 15 miles an hour from the north, or it's going to be from the south. The wind always has a direction. This is the north wind that she's asking to come. She's calling for the Lord to send the Holy Ghost to breeze up on the garden. This is a wind that she could not generate. Amen. Well, Preacher Darren, you could take a windmill. Oh, no. A windmill only circulates air. God is in charge of the wind. I cannot create the wind. I cannot manufacture the wind. I can't make it blow. I cannot get in here tonight and preach up a storm. I cannot get in here tonight and sing up a storm. I cannot manufacture the power of the Holy Ghost. But God can send it. And she's asking for the Lord to send the Holy Ghost to blow upon her garden. That wind cannot be harnessed. You can't can it. You can't save it. You cannot control it. You just have to enjoy it as it originates from the throne of Almighty God. You know, when that wind blows, one of the first times I ever felt the wind blowing, talking about the Holy Ghost, it brought conviction. You know what we need the wind of God to do in our church tonight? To blow in our garden? We need the wind of conviction to blow. We need the wind of conviction to blow upon this nation. Amen. From the White House to your house, we need the wind of conviction to blow upon this nation. We need the wind of challenge. And the wind, listen, what else the wind does? You think about honeybees, how they pollinate and cross-pollinate. You know what else? You know what else aids them? The wind. We need some cross. I'm pointing at the cross back here behind me while I'm preaching, where the Lord Jesus Christ died. We need some cross-pollination going on. Amen? It's exactly what we need. Now look, she says, "Awake thou north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices," she's speaking about the spices thereof, "may flow out." These pleasant spices, the power of the wind, the pleasant spices. You know what the pleasant spices are? They represent praise, thanks, adoration, admiration. Now here's the thing, that little girl as a garden, where can the garden go? What can the garden do? Does the garden have power to get outside the fence and go? No. Does the garden have the power to raise up and woo, just jump? No. All she can do is wait for the wind to blow. That the wind might catch the cinnamon and the calamus and pick it up and blow that sweet smell and fragrance outside the fence, that the gardener might smell it, that other people might smell what's going on and enjoy. What she's saying is, I want my garden to be mature. I want my garden to be fragrant. I want my garden to be full. I want it to be fruitful. I want it to be pleasing. I can't make the wind blow, but the wind can take the fragrance of the fruit and the fragrance of the plants, the fragrance of praise and the fragrance of thanks and adoration, and the wind can blow that to where the gardener smells it. Oh my. Look what she says. I'm done right here. She wants to be pleasing. She says, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." She said, "Lord, I want you to come down amongst us, amongst the tender plants and amongst the spices, and I want you to enjoy and partake of the pleasant fruits." When was the last time you just said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you just come down and sit with me in my truck? Lord, would you just sit with me in my car? Lord, would you just sit down on the couch with me here? Lord, would you let me just worship you and praise you? Lord, would you just empty me of sin and self and fill me up with the Holy Ghost and begin to breeze and blow up on my life that others can see that you've saved a wretch like me and you've redeemed me and you've done a work of grace? Lord, you deserve praise and honor and glory, and I want to be a trophy of your grace to show others the possibilities of what my God can do." That's what she's saying, "Lord, I just want you to come down and be with me. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's what she's saying. Now, I can't leave off right here without reading the first part of chapter 5. This is where the king talks again. She's asking for the king to come to the garden. She's asking the north wind to blow, that the scent and the fragrance might get caught by the wind and go over the wall where other people could smell it, especially the king. He's got a trained sense of smell. Oh, he delights, he inhabits the praise of his people. Look what he says, chapter 5, verse 1. "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse." I'll just stop reading right there. She says, "Oh, come now, listen. Oh, come thou north wind and blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out and that my beloved might come and eat of the pleasant fruit." At chapter 5, that number of grace. He picked up on the smell. He picked up on her prayer request. He picked up on her praise. And he walks into that garden where she's at. And they have sweet communion and sweet intimacy and sweet fellowship together. "I am come." Honey, Jesus said, "I will come again." And we need to be said, "Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus." And there's a day, honey, when he's going to come and receive us unto himself, that we may be with him where he is. That's not a question to ask you tonight. How's the wind blowing over at your garden? May I ask you a question? Is it your desire that the wind of God, the Holy Ghost, would blow upon your garden and carry forth the fragrance of worship and adoration to Him? Is it your desire that the wind of God would blow upon your garden and would go outside your walls and you might show other people love, joy, peace, or, here's my fear, does my garden need weeding? Would I be ashamed for the gardener to walk into my garden? Are my plants and my spices, are they immature? Is my love immature? Is my joy immature? Is my long-suffering immature? Is my gentleness immature? Is my peace immature? Is my goodness immature? Is my faith immature? Is my meekness immature? Is my temperance immature? Yes. Yes. Can I say, come thou north wind? Am I ready for him to breeze upon my garden? Is my praise and thanks to a level to where I want him to pick up on its smell? Or will I be ashamed at his coming? When he opens that door to walk into my garden, what will he find? How have I acted today? How have I acted this week? Oh, yes, Lord, even so, come. Hey, I'm telling you something. I'm afraid we'd be like Belshazzar. Thou art measured and found wanting. I'm not saying that salvation's absent, but I'm saying the fragrance and the fruitfulness and the fullness and the flourishing that the garden ought to be is not where it should be. And I'm ashamed of that. God help me. What I need to cry out is not say, come thou north wind and blow up on my garden, carry the spice out. I need to say, come thou north wind and pollinate and work in my garden that I may mature. Oh, that my gardener may come and pick up, pull these weeds and work and dig around me and dung around me and fertilize on me and love on me and care on me. That's what I need. Did you know the king's garden? It's sealed. I mentioned that already. With his signet ring. The only people can get in there is him and his family. It's sealed. Anybody else, it's off limits. Oh, man. I pray that he'd get in my garden and get around the tender plants and begin to work. And there's times, you know what he needs to do? There's times he has to trim you up a little bit. There's times that he has to cut you back a little bit. There's times he has to trim some things in your life. Hey, I'm telling you, it's been happening through this COVID process. There's been some weeding. There's been some trimming. There's been some cutting back. But one day, honey, you'll be more fruitful than you've ever been before. I'm done. You stand to your feet. Oh, I like it. Where he said, I am come into my garden. It's his garden. He purchased the field. You belong to him. I'll be honest with you, you don't really have a say-so in the matter. You just need to be tender-hearted and allow him to work as he feels led to. Father, tonight, as I bow my head before you, Lord, I ask God your blessing upon our time together. And Lord, truthfully, because I, as a Christian, say, come thou north wind and blow upon my garden. Lord, I've seen what you've done for me in this last year. God, it's been the greatest work in my entire life. Lord, I feel closer to you than I've ever felt. I feel more challenged. I feel the heat of the enemy. I feel him breathing. I feel his push. I feel his presence. I hear his threats. Lord, I know he's present. But Lord, I'm learning. that you have a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you've gone before me and you've gone beyond me and you stand between me and the enemy, and God, you're just taking care of it. And God, I just want to praise you, and I just want to love you, and I want to adore you, and I want to thank you, Lord, for the work you've done. Oh God, may you get glory. Sir, if there's any fruit to your liking, God, you pick it. God, you use it. God, may it be well-pleasing in your sight, Lord. I want my life to count for you, sir. God, I pray you'd forgive where I failed you, Lord. Where I've been hard-hearted, not tender-hearted. Where I've been prideful, not humble, Lord. God, I pray you'd dig around and work, God, and the fruit, God, would be even greater than before. Lord, there's a garden here at Bethel, Lord. I pray, God, you'd get in it, Lord. You'd work, and the north wind would be welcome, Lord. He'd breeze and blow the fragrance all around, God, that it might be well-pleasing, a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of Almighty God. Father, I thank you now for the word of God and for the wonder of the wind. What a work that it can take that fragrance. Woo. What a work that it can take my prayer. He, the Holy Ghost, can take my prayer, my groanings, which cannot be uttered when I'm broken, when I'm defeated, and I just cry out, God. He takes my cry, and he stands before your throne and said, he said this, but what he means is, and he interprets. Oh, Lord, thank you for the presence of the wind of God, the sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, I love you. May you have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.